Today's date is April 14th, 2024. We are reading from the Big Book of AA, pages XXVII, starting at the Doctor Writes, to and including paragraph on the same page, XXVII, that begins, "Of course, an alcoholic." Donna G. will be our reader, followed by a 20-minute share by Wendy M. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, everyone. I'm Donna G., and I'm a compulsive eater and a sugar addict. The doctor writes, "The subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcohol addictions. I say this after many years' experience as a medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcohol and drug addiction. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such mastery detail in these pages. The doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. What with the ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book came under our care in this hospital, and while here, he acquired some ideas which he put into practical application at once. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients here, and with some misgivings, we consented. The cases we have followed through have been most interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men, as we have come to know them, the entire absence of profit motive in their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and warily in this alcoholic field. They believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics from the gates of death."
Of course, an alcoholic ought to be free from his physical craving for liquor, and this often requires a definite hospital procedure before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. That's the end.
Speak. Do I just speak now?
We're waiting. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to introduce you first. Had a little moment there. Wendy M. from, I believe it's the Colorado, will be our speaker. Thank you, Wendy.
Absolutely. I just have a question. Am I supposed to keep admitting people while I'm talking?
Actually, Wendy, we were wondering who was doing that. Do not admit anybody. We have a security person that does that.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So just ignore that. Yeah.
Breach. Great. My name is Wendy, and I'm recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And thank you, Kim G, just being in my life. And thank you for asking me the other day to be of service. And I'm an attention like hoe, right? Like I live off attention. And I live off like doing, like performing for people. So I'm really hoping that this goes really well, because then I'll have arrived. And I wrote that to God this morning in my two-way prayer. I said, "God, I'm screwed. I'm an attention hoe. And I have to like give this talk to people. And it's really important that I do super well." And God's like, "Just be of service." Because that's what happens in a two-way prayer. Just be of service. I'm like, oh, that's a relief. That's the opposite world. That's the uncommon to the common. So Darcy, I'm so sorry. Can you give me 5 minutes first, just so I can get to my qualification? Okay. So that's the deal. I don't have to be perfect. Thank you, God. I just have to, channel God today and help somebody, I hope. So the doctor's opinion, I just want to first say, I've been in the program 23 years. And in 2015, somebody showed me this book. And somebody specifically read Entire Abstinence, specifically read this portion of the book, the doctor's opinion. It is a game changer. It's the first thing that I take my sponsees through. And we read it word for word for word. because it's a game changer. It's the difference between knowing what our problem is and then having finally a solution, because we know what the problem is. Specifically on this page, first of all, thank you, Dr. Silkworth, for having the humility, right? And the open-mindedness to say, I don't know. And doctors don't know. This is beyond our conception, you know, and I'm 8 years old. And the doctor said to me, Dr. Weil, and he said, you've got a problem with fried foods, just lay off of them. And all that did was want me to go home and eat more food. And, you know, 10 root canals. And the doctor was like, first of all, you're fat, he said. And second of all, too much sugar. So that just, you know, drove me right back to the refrigerator. So it just never worked, right? Or even therapists, frankly, in terms of doctors, it's beyond, because they're not ex-problem eaters, or they're not, you know, problem eaters. They don't have what I have. And the only people that can do the deed are people who have what I've got. You know, we are specially trained in this room to help anybody who comes through the door, because we are them. That's how we know we can help. So that's the first thing is, it, thank God, it's beyond their synthetic knowledge. That's wonderful news. We don't have to keep going back to doctors. And this humility is brilliant. And the letter, you know, catapulted AA into probably in the 20th century, one of the most important social movements on the planet, continues to be. And then it says here, we had some misgivings, right? Bill wanted to go tell his story to other patients. I love that. I love that the doctor says, we had some misgivings. Like in this program, we literally knock on the door and say, I don't know you, but I'm going to tell you my secrets right now, and it's going to help you. And then you're going to tell me your secrets, right? Because that's what Bill's doing. Bill's just knocking on doors. He doesn't know these people. It's brilliant. That is how our program works. We knock on the door of another person who's hurting. And the only reason they're talking to us is because we have depth and weight, because the story we're telling is their story. But I love that the doctor had some misgivings. Like, what is Bill doing? This is nuts. Like, why is he going door to door? So I just love that we live in the opposite world. We live in the uncommon, right? It's uncommon to go up to a stranger and say, I think, you know, I've got this thing. What about you? I love this program. Because in our culture, we just, you know, mainly we're ashamed of our secrets and we don't tell them. But for us to tell our secrets, that's the beginning of the health. You know, that's the beginning of this honest, open, and willing health that we do. And then I've always loved this line, entire absence of profit. Unselfish. Yes. I'm going to talk a little bit about my miracles and how I went from selfish to unselfish. And I continue, to hopefully do God's will on that one. But it says here, entire absence of profit motive. And I always say to my sponsee at that point, I go, now, I mean, what would happen if right now I was charging you $150 an hour for this call as we talk about more about alcoholism? You know, that would throw the whole thing off balance. It wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't work. And to me, these are the traditions. They're divinely inspired. It's a safe place to land. That's what traditions do. They create a safe place. If I started charging my sponsees, that's not a safe place to land. This wouldn't work at all. So like, how do they even know this, right? Community spirit. How do they know? How did they know? How did Bill know to put these traditions together? You know, because it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It's the opposite world, right? Well, I'm spending 45 minutes with my sponsee. I better charge her. You know, that's the normal world. That's the world that we come from, right? This is my time. It's very important. So you should pay me money. That would completely explode this. It would implode this whole experiment that we're in. So I love that and not only do I love that I don't charge my sponsees a dime, but I love, like, it gives me relief. Like, oh my God, like that whole model, it's such a relief to not live in that model. And then of course, still more, it's, we believe in ourselves. Yes, I'm not sure what that means, but still more in the power, capital P, right? That's what this whole experiment is about, is accessing a power. When I'm working with the sponsee, I don't give them the answer. I say, let's access your higher power, because that's what we're doing here. We're figuring out ways to have conscious contact with a higher power. We don't have power. We need access to the power. Why? Because we want to return to sanity. One of my favorite things in this whole program is that return to sanity. Those are the miracles. I'll talk about them in a minute. And then I didn't know we were reading this line, but I love it. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed from his physical craving for food, liquor, that often requires a definite hospital procedure. I actually did go through hospitalization, no trips, no restaurants, no parties. And frankly, now when I go to these things, I bring a cup of coffee. That's why I'm so jacked up right now. I bring a cup of coffee. That's what I bring to the occasion so that I can be of usefulness. And I can, you know, I'm not looking at the buffet table wondering, you know, I have no idea what this person's talking about because I need to get to that buffet table. But this says craving for liquor. So to me, this is entire abstinence. It's, I don't work with people until they are off of their alcoholic foods, ingredients, behaviors. There's no point. It would be like me being in the bar drinking, you know, whatever, Jack Daniels, with my sponsor taking step one. It just doesn't work. For me, it doesn't work. You know, other people maybe say, oh, I think you have to be freed from these things so that you are ready to, you know, take the steps. Because if you're, once you're freed, right, once the alcoholic ingredients, behaviors are down, now life shows up, right? Then I really need the steps. Like, so you can't put the food down and not work the steps. Got to put the food down first, in my not so humble opinion. Okay.
Hey, Wendy, did you want a 5 minute in to the talk?
I messed you up really hard. So how much time do I have left? I'll just ask now.
12 minutes.
Okay. I'll talk fast. Thank you. Okay. I just wanted to talk a little bit about qualifying. I think it's important. So I sucked my thumb till I was 11. I had to have something in my mouth at all times. I call it a party in my mouth. I had stashes of food like in my pockets at all times. Something had to go in at all times. You see, because I didn't want to deal with life. And in my family, it wasn't just important to be skinny. It was important like that my looks were important. You know, and I used to say, oh, my family was skinny was important and looks were important. No, me. I have to share this, would blow dry the hell out of my Jewish hair so that at least I can't control my body size because it's getting bigger, but at least I could control my hair. And if you looked from the neck up, that was my life. This is what I thought you saw because I couldn't control my body. I ate and ate and I ate. And I want to say something else. I was prepared to tell you how horrible my family is and all the trauma that I've gone through. And I've been to jail like, oh, it's so bad. My family was actually pretty good. And my family, actually, my parents did the absolute best they can with what they had. That is a new thought. That is a miraculously new thought that I can tell you, instead of telling you I was a victim, I was a this, I was a that, they were horrible. Nah, it was a tough life. I'm an overeater. That's all I can tell you. And one thing I love about this one word I'm going to tell you about is the word responsible and responsibility. Like, I lived my life not responsible. I'll talk more about that in a minute. I lived my life not taking responsibility. I was a victim. It was everybody else's fault. If I'm uncomfortable in a room, I have to blame somebody else for it. That is exactly what my life was like. I also wrote down, I would eat and the whole world would go away. That's why I ate. I also ate because I had a physical allergy and an obsession of the mind. My motto was, I need you to be different for me to be okay, right? So I better control the hell out of everybody so that my insides will be okay. And in terms of eating, I didn't stop eating as a child. But I was such a control freak that I wouldn't let my body get huge, out of control. So I'd exercise. So that was part of the mantra in my family: exercise, skinny, and looks. And that's my inventory, not theirs. And I never could wait for the food. It had to keep coming. I talk about, like, I don't have a food problem. I have a thinking problem. I have a perception problem. I perceive things in a distorted way. And the disease is in my voice, so everything sounds right, which I love. And if you're new, and even if you're not, I always say, don't think. Stop thinking. Just take an action. Like, again, I've been in 23 years, but 9 months ago is when I really did the deed, right? I heard somebody on a special edition and I said, yeah, it's time. I called her and she said, yeah, here's my laundry list of everything you have to do. There's tons of requirements. And of course, my first thought was that's going to be inconvenient for me. And I just really want to get skinny again because I was stark raving skinny in the beginning. And I don't know if I can do those requirements. But something inside said, Wendy, if you're going to change, you need to do something different than what you're doing. And if you want what she has, you've got to do what she does. So there was a part of me that was like, yes, that's right. I've got to do what she, and I stopped thinking about it. I didn't debate it. I didn't negotiate it. I just said, I called her the next day. I'm doing it. Let's go. And those were the requirements. And I don't have to tell you what they are, but if you're interested, you've got my phone number. I can tell you what they are. And they have changed me, not my thinking. My thinking's distorted, right? My perception is not well, but I can take actions and actions change me. And at this point in my life, God is changing me constantly. Hopefully I can talk about that. I have notes because I'm all over the map. Usually I'm addicted to comfort and I'm addicted to attention. And I'm also a love addict and I ate over my love addiction. I love this. I heard this yesterday. No number on the scale is going to get me to like myself. No number on the scale is going to get me to like myself. And I wrote down, and this is true, the hardest thing in life, or maybe this program, is liking myself. I can take all the steps. That's not a problem. Liking myself. You know how I like myself? I do esteemable acts. I do. Again, it's not thinking. I don't sit there and go, God, I hope I'm a good person. I hope I like myself. I don't do that at all. I just stop and say, oh, I'm going to do an esteemable act. I'll give you an example. You're going to laugh. I'm a horrible dog owner. It's on a lot of my amends. What do I do today that gives me esteem? I walk my dog every day. I hug my dog every day. I give him his medication every day. That's an esteemable act. I know it's teeny, or making my bed, all of that kind of stuff. I also want to tell you that in my life, the rules have never applied to me. If I get mail, especially bills or something that looks like a contract or something important from a lawyer, I pretty much just ignore these things. I just push them to the side because I really don't really want to do life on life's terms. I want to resist reality. But what's happened in this program is I actually do open my mail now and my bills, and I paid all my taxes on time the other day and I wash my face. Is that my time? Oh no, that's not my time. So, and then it says life is unmanageable, right? That's step one. We couldn't control our emotional natures. So how did this nice Jewish girl from a good family go to jail, right? It's called self-will run riot. It's called control my emotional natures. Like, that's crazy. But here's the thing that's hilarious. When I was in jail, it was one night. It had to do with a relationship that I was in. The funniest thing about being in jail is they had white bread and I ate it. And I ate it because I was like, well, I'm in jail, so it doesn't count, first of all. And I'm not eating the other food on my plate. I gave it to the other women in my cell. So they gave me more of their white bread. So see, this is the insanity. This is the insanity is, well, I didn't eat the other food, so somehow I can eat the calories in the white bread and pretend it's not a break in my abstinence. I love that. Okay, I want to talk a little more about how I've lied with food. Okay, that's not, it was here. Excuse me one second. Well, I mean, I can just tell you, this is the insanity, is that we have to bend reality. I must bend reality to get the hit. That's how this thing works. So for example, I'm driving 70 miles an hour in my car and my weighed and measured slice of apple is on the floor. It fell. And so it's more important for me to get that slice of apple because, you know, it's in my food plan. Than my own health or the health of anybody else on the road, right? Or like you're at the Thanksgiving party, you're cleaning the dishes because the door's closed and you're eating the apples from the apple pie and you're calling it a fruit, right? Or it's in your salad, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's in there. It counts because it's called a salad. Or ice cream in my coffee, right? And calling it cream. So this, I mean, it just, you know, the way to live life is if I'm going to be honest with my food, I have to be honest with my life. And when I pick up a piece of food that's not on my plan, it's like picking up blame and control and anger. It's great for 8 seconds. By the way, gossip is fabulous, but it lasts about 8 seconds. It's delicious. And then you feel like crap, right? I'm going to jump because probably my time's up. My insides, these are the miracles. My insides are matching my outsides. What that means is if I have a feeling that's uncomfortable, I actually say it to a friend. I actually told my friend, this is what I'm feeling. And she said, I don't want to like lose you. Thank you for being so honest, right? I was never honest before. I just would resent you and then run the other way. I would ditch you. Other things that are amazing. I was not a great mama. I remember my son was 3 years old and I was driving, you guys, and I turned up the volume super loud and I screamed bloody murder at him. I can't take that back. I can't take back, right? And then like growing up, making him like my emotional binge partner, not food, but I would dump on him emotionally what was going on in my life. So inappropriate. And even a couple of weeks ago, I'm talking to him and I'm like, oh my God, I'm just talking about me and me and me. And I get it today. Like God shows me when I'm in the sunlight and when I'm blocked. And that's a miracle. I know when I'm blocked instantly. I know when I make that 10-step call, like a shower on the inside, that turnaround comes, right? A turnaround comes because I need you to be different for me to be okay. That's kind of the bottom line with my 10 steps. And when I can take responsibility and go, oh, I'm leaning on other people to be a certain way, so my insides are okay. That's what I ate over relationships, right? That's, you know, using my son. Today, I don't use my son. I don't use him. We have a fabulous time. He has a sober mother. I'm not in a relationship where I went to jail over it. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. He had to come pick me up at the jail. Can you imagine? Today, I have a great relationship with this guy and I don't have to use him and I don't have to use other people. You know, always checking my motives. I also always say, everyone's doing their best. I hate saying that, but it's true. And it works every time. If I'm like seeing a phone call coming and I'm like, oh, I can't pick that up. I'm not going to pick that up. God just says, be generous, be kind, be generous, be kind. And then I pick up the phone and God says, it's not even you picking up the phone. Let me just do my magic. You see, God says, move aside, get out of the way, sweetie. I need to do my magic. I'm like, oh, this is so much easier when you let God run the show. It's such a relief to stop being in the center of everything, knowing everything. Oh, you guys, it's not that hard. It's just like God is just doing God's magic. So I want to say that I always say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. Right. And I'm going to give a couple examples. Like I'm about to gossip, right? This is going to be fun. It's delicious. And then I don't gossip because I know the difference now. I know that I'm out of God's alliance, whatever connection, if I did that. The other day I was about to tell my ex-husband that I'm giving him way too much money and he's an awful person. And I didn't do that. Again, like everything was quiet. I just talked to him. It was such a relief to abstain, not only from picking up the food, but picking up, you know, anger, rage. I had so much anger and rage, you guys. Control, fear, like you just pick it up. Just like I pick up the food. And I don't have to today. And I'm on to myself so much faster. And chasing crazy. Yeah, like I stopped chasing crazy. Chasing crazy is chasing man, woman, child, whoever, to get a little something, something. Mainly men, and not chasing anymore, just walking away. Because chasing is be a certain way, so I'll be okay. I'll give you another example. So I experience God. Every time this happens, I experience God. Weighing and measuring my food is a spiritual experience. And by the way, food is not about perfection. It's about honesty. And I've had sponsees say to me, well, then I'll just be honest about how I didn't eat, you know, what I said I'd eat. I said, no, that's not what this is about. Honesty is a spiritual experience. Honesty is surrender. Honesty is my commitment, my contract with God, that if I say I'm going to weigh and measure that food, that's what I do. It's a contract with God. It's a contract with myself. I get integrity. I get self-esteem if what I say I'm going to do is what I do, right? Being an overeater and not in this program, way out of alignment, right? And then I eat more because I'm lying. Like I'll just eat some more and more and more. Not getting on match.com. God's like, oh, thank God. Just go be useful. I want to also say joy. And frivolous. That's what I want to end with. Oh, so important not to be serious. I mean, I realize this is a deadly disease. I realize my other disease is deadly. I got to jail, but, and I share, I just want to say, I share the jail thing, not to be like, wow, she went to jail. It's the point is anybody can get there. Like it doesn't matter race, creed, color, whatever. Addiction is addiction and it wants what it wants. And it's a heat seeking missile. And it's like off and running, right? Unless I do this, unless I do my 12 requirements a day, call you guys, get on 9 meetings a week, everything, be of service, doesn't matter. Like I have to be in the opposite world, right? If I do the actions, I get the goods. And God is working through me constantly at this point. It's just nonstop and it's brilliant. And the more I have God, if it feels good, it's God. If it feels itchy and scratchy, it's not God. It's me. It's Wendy. So we fire Wendy and we hire God. But once I have these experiences, I want more of them. The more I pick up the phone, the more I'm going to pick up that darn phone. The more I'm honest with my food, weigh and measure, go to the grocery store, all of it, the more I get God. And the more I get God, the better it feels. And then I get to share this thing called God. I'm not sharing me, I'm just sharing God. You know, and God is cheering. They say you walk to God, God runs to you. God is so eager to have you. Everybody on this call, God is so wanting you. It's so great. It's the best feeling in the world. But frivolous, today I'm going to go sing for 4 hours in a show that I'm in. I don't have a great voice. I love performing. It doesn't matter. Like, it's so great to do things badly and fully enjoy them. Like, and I love frivolous because I'm such a productive person. Like, so frivolous is like watching, can I say some TV show that I watch that is hilarious. Frivolous is writing my plays. Like, I got divorced and like plays just started coming out of me. I go and perform plays like professionally. Like, and it's so much joy. It's so fun. Or listening to my musical theater stuff, or like, it has to be frivolous though. It can't be productive.
That's time, Wendy.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing.